Today we are going to talk about a new top-level project named Apache Skywalking. We just graduated this year, so we are very new in the Apache Foundation. And I'm Wu Sheng, I'm from the Trade. It's one of the startup company in San Francisco, and we are working for the enterprise level service mesh. So Skywalking now works with the Envoy and the Istio team to build a commercial service mesh solution. And this project begins with a very traditional tech stack. We are providing some very traditional monitoring technology, like you may be familiar with New Relic, AppDynamic, the language agent. So you can use the agent without changing any source code of your application, and you still get the metrics, the tracing, the alarm, and all of that things very easily. Today I'm working at the incubator, so I mentor several projects from China, and I also as a Microsoft MVP, so at the open source field. Skywalking started at 4 years ago, and at the beginning this project has no commercial agenda, even not an open source agenda. We are creating this project for internal training only. Because at that moment, distributed system become more and more popular. And at the beginning that is based on the SOA or traditional JTUE architecture. And now we are talking about distributed. So in the next year, we are beginning to build the Java agent core. And this is very popular technology in Java stack. When you want to monitor code and you didn't want to change anything from the dev team. So the operation team could be observe the codes, and you can make that to analyze the performance. Before that, I was a member of the China APM vendor, so I'm familiar with all of the commercial APM things. And in 2 years ago, I joined Huawei as a member of the Huawei Cloud. So I bring this project to the Apache Incubator, and we are beginning to build the community as an open source project. Last year, we provide the first GA version. Even the version number is already 5, but it's the first version we have provided, and a recommendation to the community to build and use the in production environment. Today, we are adopting and more supporting at Skywalking 6. And today, we can run the APM system for the traditional stack, like the Java application, .NET Core application, Node.js, or PHP applications. All of them runs in all A2 instrumentation, so you didn't need to change any codes. And at the same time, we are adopting the service mesh, mostly Istio and Envoy. So you can use the Skywalking to observe all of the mesh system. You can use Skywalking with the Istio mixer. But today, a lot of people complain about the mixer performance. So we provide a new solution. As far as I can tell, we are the only one to provide the AOS-based solution, the Envoy Access Log Service. So we don't need mixer. Once for all, it's out of the scope. And we still can have all of the metrics, all of the topology, as usual. The Skywalking 6 is very different from the old version. Today is, we all know, as an application performance monitoring system. And basically, we are all treated as a distributed tracing system. And in the Western world, we may be familiar with the Jaeger or Zipkin. But there is a lot of difference between them. So I also a member of the Zipkin community, and I worked for that project first. And why we build these things? Because we are focusing on get the metrics and topology and system performance rather than just simply tracing the system. And we need to control the payload we add to the target application. So today, most of the tracing system ask you to do very low rates of the sampling, like 1% or 5%. And we are running in the production environment, provide 100% sampling, but you still can run your application in production environment with just a cost 10% actual CPU mostly. So you still can use all of the trace if you want, and you still can get the metrics and get the topology. From the observability part, we are always seeing things about the tracing metrics and the logging. So at Skywalking's perspective, we are very hopefully people to think the things like from the very high level to the details. So tracing is always the last step you need to focus on. The first source you want to see a distributed system, you always want the topology map. Because the topology map told you the relationship, the dependency, and the latency, or is caused by the code, is caused by the network, something like that. And then you will jump to the metrics. There were metrics of the nodes in the topology, or metrics of the edge, the lines of the topology. Then you want to, maybe you want to jump in to understand why this latency, why this error rate happens. So you want to do the tracing field. Or in some cases, or in most cases, you actually could get some result from the logging. So even Skywalking didn't run into the logging field because there was a lot of very good projects like the EOK ecosystem or other things to process the logging. So we didn't do logging, but we provide the tracing logging integration mechanism. So we can inject the trace ID or anything in your log, and when you need it, you can jump back from the Skywalking to see the trace. Also, at the alarm, all of the system, we cannot monitor in the dashboard for all the time. So we need the alarm system. Skywalking provided a very lightweight alarming call. So you can integrate it with any other system you want. We provide the gRPC sales interface. So you can implement any third-party system to integration of alarm. This is a very high-level overview of the Skywalking architecture. Because in today, we are very modularization, so if you are talking about only the trace, you can talk to the ZPM format, Jaeger, or open sensors in ZPM format, or Skywalking's native format. The difference between them is about if you are using Skywalking's format, you can have the metrics and topology in the production environment. If we are talking about Zipkin or Jaeger, we only recommend you to accept the tracing only. Because if you try to run some analysis based on the Zipkin or Jaeger's format, it's very easy to understand what they are doing. But it will cost you a lot of resource when you run to analyze it. And also, you will require to run a big data platform. At day one, Skywalking is designed to very lightweight. We didn't require you to use any big data technology. Even we are using the streaming analyzer system, but we build a very light streaming system rather than use Spark or any other things. The core concept of all of this is because we are the second or third level observability system. We didn't want to add too much workload to the operation team. So we need to keep that as simple as possible. Even we need to build all of the things. So at the storage level, many systems may ask for Cassandra or HBase to save all of the trace things and all of the metric to make sure they can be analyzed. But we are using very traditional and friendly storage systems, like the traditional MySQL or Elasticsearch. So basically, you can run that in a very single VM. Or you can run that in the Kubernetes if you want, but still, it's very easy to do. So Skywalking is modularization. Then we need a receiver to get all of that things. And we are very focusing on the performance because we are lightweight and powerful at the same time. So this, all of the receiver are hard-coded. If you want to adopt any third-party protocol, something like if you have a tracing call or any tracing agent in your own site, you want to adopt this analyzer system, then you just need to write a receiver. So when you have that, you can translate them to the metrics in your receiver and to push to the Skywalking call and all of the other things you are still working for you. All of the things, like I said, this about we are building a very extendable, pluggable system. So you can use the different cluster management system. Like you can run in Kubernetes, use the Kubernetes API server to manage your cluster, or use the traditional Apache Zookeeper etcd to analyze all of your cluster. And you can extend to export all of the alarm system metrics tracing to any third-party system if you want to run the integration, because we have a lot of users to integration deeply with their platform. So they can run maybe AI analyze to our metrics to set up the baseline to do the alarm. So basically, you didn't need to adopt all of the core, all of the components in the Skywalking. You can use anything you like, and you can ignore other components if that makes no sense to you. And in the Skywalking, there are some basic concepts. This is very easy concept. It's the service instance, or endpoints. In today's cloud-native world, people are use service everywhere. So in Skywalking, we are give you a very specific things about the service. Service give you a safe behavior of the workload together. A very basic and abstract concept. You can group anything as a service if you think they are the same thing in the logical level. And the service instance, there are two level things. If you're in the service mesh, you're in Kubernetes, it's just a port. So, but if you are running on the VM and the traditional APM agent side, most likely this is an OS process. One OS process is a service instance. And the endpoint, actually, this is a very misguided thing, because in Kubernetes, endpoint is an IPM port thing. And people may think this, but it's not. It's just a URL or a gRPC service signature. And someone maybe call it method in HTTP environment. But why we don't use that? Because we still need to analyze the metrics to the database, cache server like Redis. So basically, it's not a real method. So we call that endpoint. And for all of the things extendable and light, we write a very easy compiler. And all of these analyzed metrics is editable from the outside. So you can change all of the analyze you want. You can keep the things you want. Something like you want the service response time, average time, then you can use this script. Or you can compensate, then report the system is not there. They will not analyze all of these things. So basically, you can extend all of the metrics function. So you can have your like your wanted metrics. But basically, we think most of the functions are already there. You may not need to do a lot of work by yourselves. But still, there are some people doing more analysis than we do. And in the query, we provide a very fancy UI. I will show you later. But still, we are adopting the GraphQL protocol in query. Because most people ask about maybe the RESTful type query language, why we don't use that? Because the integration of the UI is very unstable. Different vendor, different cloud vendors, they use Skywalking as their monitoring system. Even half month later, I will be the HQ of the Alibaba at Hangzhou, and AliCloud will announce Skywalking will be hosted as a cloud service by their support. There's nothing about the community, but they choose, they need a hosted service. So many vendors have different UI. Even Skywalking has different version of UI during these 2 years, because some company contribute and donate the whole new UI, which I'm going to represent later. So these things are very unstable. And we are not going to persuade the user this visualization solution is the best solution to do. We are not going to do that. We are going to analyze all of the metrics need, and the user could assemble all of the metrics at their wish. Okay. And Skywalking is very new to the Apache, and it's very new maybe in the Western world, in the US. But this community is already there, and we have over 150 contributors from nearly all of the things IoT, IoT, bank, economy, AI, and financial you name it. They're all there. And there are over 100 companies use that in production environments and have employees to contribute to the future. That's why the project is growing so quickly. And this is the presentation, but we have a very good network today, so I'm not going to use this video. I will switch to the real system. This is a demo system. You can find it in Skywalking's GitHub repo. Everyone can access this. So I just show what this system works. So this is a traditional dashboard. You can get everything like the metrics. This is a global heat map to show you the latency look like in the global system, or the P99, P95 latency things if you're familiar with how to analyze your stable of your response time. That may be the things you like. But personally, I will recommend everyone to adopt about how to use the heat map, because heat map is more accurate than the P99, P95 things, and you have a very clear view about which things is out of the hot zone. And also, this is global, or you can have any particular service, something like in this case, we have four projects running. And each project has one instance and have one endpoint just for demonstration. So when you run into the service, you will have the service level metrics, all of that things. And you have the slowest endpoint or the payload of the any instance. Because we all have one instance, so you will not see a very long list here. And you will also have the endpoints, because it's like you need to have any endpoint metrics. You have also the same metrics for instance level, because we are running the JVM, so you have the JVM metrics too. Also, if you are running the .NET core, you will show the CLR things here. Also, besides all of the service, we are using the language agent in this case, so we also have the database. We built a H2 in-memory database in this demonstration, so you will have these things. Also, you will have the slowest circle you are accessing the system. So in this case, you didn't need to run analyze at the database size. You will see how the database acts at the client side, at the real application side. Also, most fascinating things is about people always talk about topology. This topology will be A2 generated and A2 updated when your system keeps online and offline. And you will have the metrics of the edge of this topology. So you will know when the project A access project B, how it looks like. Also, the metrics separated as client or server. Why? Because some metrics detected at client-side library, something like you use a gRPC, there is a gRPC client and a gRPC server. All these graphs are all available at both sides. When these things go very differently, the most likely you have a network issue, because the network is unstable. So at the server side metrics, you look all the things very good, and the client side, maybe not. That's why we provide this kind of things, because in most of the days, people at the upstream side service, they always argue about our service is good enough. But the client side maybe say no, and we want to know what is really happening. Is the server side's fault or the client side's? So that's the case. Also, you can choose any particular service, then you have a very clear dependent upstream or downstream. And you can have all of the things as the whole global views. At the trace, people may see a lot of trace in multiple systems, but we are provided more views of the trace. This is a very traditional one about the hierarchy and the parent-children things of the trace. But at the same time, we provided two other views. One is the tree. This is the very tree style things, but why we do that? Because when we run into the performance issue of the system, there are two kinds of very particular typical issue. One is one single span is very slow. So in this case, when we click about top five slots in the most case, these things will be highlights in the UI. And you just need to focus on the slowest things. And the other thing is about the children. The children maybe have very high latency, so they will focus on their children rather than itself. Maybe because just this span called the other span, and the target is very slow, but itself is very quickly. So these things will filter all the bad things just to highlight the children is slow. The reason why it's not very clear is about this, because we set a sleep time in every span. We just need to make sure the data is there, so we do that. This is not a real system. And also, this is alarm. It's there at the service instance and endpoints level alarm. This alarm can be exported to any third-party system, like we said. And so you can set the alarm rules. You can have a cooldown type, something like, if already alarming, then we will not alarm the same thing in next several minutes. So you can avoid some alarm system crash, because too many things alarm and repeat and repeat and repeat again. That's the thing. So we'll continue about these things. And today we have five language agents. Besides of the Go language, all other four are A2 instrumentation. So you basically maybe didn't need to change any codes or just one or two lines of code. Something like the Node.js, you may need to change two or three, five lines of codes. But for the Go language, I think there is no much cool solutions. You still need an SDK to add this instrumentation, to add the span. I think that's the most uncool things for Go. And for the performance, this is a very typical performance we collected from the user scenario. And this is a very high payload system. They have a QPS about 5,000 for single one node, single one OS process. And they will generate 5 spans in one request in this particular OS process. What you get actual 10% CPU cost. But the latency, you can see this is the response time, it's the latency, it's nearly no change. So if you have 10% actual CPU and you want 100% sampling, then it's possible. It's possible to do. And there is not cost too many things at the back end or anything. Just make sure your network is standby, because all of the things need to ship from your OS process to the back end. Then back end is ready to analyze. So the only risk is someone maybe put the agent and the backends in different VPC. So when the data across the VPC, you need to verify your network is powerful enough or not. But in the real product environment, there is no such things. Most applications just 200% RPS or TPS things. So basically, they have just 1% or 3% actual CPU need in the real world. And for the consistency,
can you maybe give some examples of like JVM specific alarms that would be typically configured by an agent here?
What kind of could you examine more?
I don't know, it's kind of an open ended question actually. Like maybe locking processes, things like that, things that would really have an impact in performance that would be monitored at the JVM level.
Mm-hmm.
Like that information would be really, really helpful to see.
You mean the thread analyze, log
exactly.
analyze,
right? Exactly.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Today in the open source version, I think the community didn't upstream all of these things, but I saw that in their system. The reason may be just like that team is not focused on the visualization, because since you are talking about the collect that kind of information is not that hard. But the tricky thing is you need to visualize them. You're very good readable things. And the other reason is about if we are doing that, because I used to do that in the commercial service. So if you want to do that, you need to make sure all of your team is ready about how to sampling the threat information. When you begin to collect information about the threat stack, because in most cases you cannot instrument all of the classes in your application. That is unpractical. But you can have the threat stack. You can capture the threat stack in every second, and you can aggregate them to get a real metric. That's the thing you can see in the dynamic, numeric, they can do such things. But how much it will cost? Is it really practical in the production environment? The result is you only can maybe sample 5 or 10 threads. That's the only thing you may could leave. If you do all of the global thread sampling about how the thread looks like, your application will crash down. That's the real case. So we are not doing that today, but the thing is they are open there and there's vendor already implements that. We don't know who will upstream all these fusions, but theoretically it's not the difficult things we need to solve. And I understand the question you asked, and this is important things when you analyze the system. Some system caused by the no available thread, they are waiting, or resource there is burning down, something like that.
So really the focus is on things like response times?
Response times and latency, the dependency, something more like in that part. And at the same time, we are adopting the service mesh. So we are working close with the Istio and Envoy team to make sure there are two kinds of solutions. Like we already know, Mixer provides a very friendly interface to collect the metrics. But at the same time, the performance is really bad. We can see that from a lot of reports, a lot of real use case. So we built actually, I think Skywalk is the only one open source project adopted the Mixer bypass adapter. We didn't contribute or write any codes to contribute to the Mixer adapter code base. But you still can see the Apache Skywalking is on the istio.io. Why? Because we are using the istio bypass adapter. The bypass means this data will go into the proxy to the Mixer and the Mixer to Skywalking directly. But we don't change anything. We just ask Mixer to forward all of these things to the Skywalking and we will run the analyze. And the other thing is about from the proxy side. We are very concerned about in the production environment, there is a performance concern about Mixer, the latency caused at Envoy side. So we use the access log. The difference is why access log is faster, much, much faster than the Mixer. The reason is if you know how Mixer did, actually, Mixer did the observability very similar to do the tracing. So you need to unpack all of the traffic at Envoy side, inject some header, propagate to the server side, and then I packed it and get the metrics. Then what is AOS? AOS is just the access log. You can have the Envoy access log from the console in the old days. We contributed the fusion to the Envoy to make sure they can ship the AOS log through gRPC. Then we ship it from Envoy to the backend. And the faster reason is we didn't unpack anything. The AOS log just includes the IP address of the source service and the target service. So we leverage that because we coordinate with Kubernetes API server. Once we have the IP address, we have the service name of this RPC call service side or client side. Then we analyze that to guide the real topology, real metrics. So in that case, Mixer is not required. We have talked a lot with the Istio team, and a lot of mesh contributor like this solution. But we open source it, the document is there, but still it's very complex. If you run into the code, you will notice there's a little hard to understand why these things work. You can easily find from the visualization, but if you run through the codes, actually you are leveraging the things about how the service mesh, all of the WP things works in IP level. So the issue of bypassing is very easy, just to ship all of the things to the backends. So, and this is the concern. This is the reason we are running into the AOS solution. And we run analyze about why the mixer is very slow. The reason is there are some different level. The mixer envoy filter is the thing when you active mixer. Mixer will active this filter at envoy side. Your latency is mostly caused by this. So in the service mesh, envoy may have just one, mostly two CPU for each envoy. And these things will be burned very quickly. And then the other things, we could build observability by bypass adapter. Then it's a bypass, then what's the point we deploy the Istio server, mixer server? Because bypass means there's nothing special, nothing processed there, but you still need your mixer cluster to forward all of this information. So that doesn't make sense. And because of we didn't need mix server, there is one option that we adopt the mixer protocol. Then we can replace the mixer. But even we do that, we tried, but even we do that, this filter cost too much at the envoy side. So you still didn't have a good latency. That's why we don't open source this version, rather else we provide the iOS version. So no matter in open source or commercial product, Envoy iOS to do the observability in service mesh is always better than the mixer. So if you are focusing on the service mesh, you will know the mixer will set the Istio team will set the mixer close or unenable in default in Fusion release. So basically you will not have the mixer, you just have the pilot, the envoy, the galaxy. So we are prefer don't do that. Choose the AOS to do that. And the backend, they have very high performance. This is very old data because I write this and we get from real production environments. This is from a real use case. Some company use 3 kilobytes trays per day. So they have 35 nodes, including the Skywalking backends and Elasticsearch cluster. All of that will analyze 150 QPS for the whole cluster. So basically, this is maybe more, but we collect that at some random day. They are always do 100% sampling. So you will see in this case, the sampling, 100% sampling is not that expensive because they are always asking about, they argue about if you do 100% sampling, you will cost too much money. But actually, this is not very big money because there are hundreds of distributed systems already running online and you just take 35 VM nodes to support the whole cluster. And this is service mesh. If you run into your service mesh, because the trace is not there, so you can have much, much more throughput than the real system. Okay, thank you. This is a very basic introduction. Anyone has a question? I think we have time.
So, I guess my question is, in China, whether or not was there not a desire to use sort of the commercial offerings already out there today? I guess I'm trying to get at is what was sort of the main impetus for developing your own APM?
Mm-hmm. There are APM vendors there. But the issue is about the integration. The integration because they are closed protocol. And their plugin is sometimes is impossible to develop by yourself. You must ask them to provide the plugin because there is an agent there. You need to provide plugin to the target framework. And you always have to ask the APM vendor to develop for you. The money is one thing, the other thing is it's too slow. And you didn't know what happens inside the plugin. It's very hard to do the optimization or it's pluggable, yes, but you didn't know how to do that because you didn't read the source code. So the other thing is about, actually, I'm used to a customer of the Neurelic. And in the real world, if you are running your very high throughputs, if you really want more trace than 1% sampling, most of these days, traditional, even commercial APM systems are not working that well. So in most APM systems, they just recommend you to give very low sampling profile. But actually, many users, they didn't like that. Because they think they may have just one or two chance to get the real error in the production environment. But you are running the sampling. So when the chance can, maybe they missed that.
Oh.
They didn't like all of this. They didn't want to wait for the next time. So that's basically the first time we are focusing on the 100% sampling always.
Okay, I think that's more. Thank you.
Thank you for use your lunch time to listening my presentation. My presentation is observability in the distributed system. I just introduce myself. My name is Zhang Liang, and I am the database dev team leader of JD.com, and I am also a PPMC of the Apache Sharding Sphere Incubator. I just write a book. The book name is Architecture in Future, from SOA to Cloud Native. That one is a Chinese version, maybe in the future to translate to English version. So firstly, I want to share if we just develop a distributed system, what should we do first? The first one is we should sharding our service, because our service should be scaled out. The service is stateless, so we just add some new machine, and then we can just to sharding it. But the second one is we should to sharding the databases. The database sharding is more complicated than the service sharding because database has the data inside it. So it is stateful. So how to shard with the database? The first one is we can use the different database, and every database just save the part of the data. And then we can use master slave, some query from the master database, and some update from the master database, and the query just from the slave database. It will just split the update and query. It can to the performance enhancement. But the problem one is how to manage complicated sharding databases on the distributed system, because we have a lot of distributed databases, and the distributed systems. It's really difficult to manage it. So I just introduced the first software. The first project name is Sharding Sphere. Sharding Sphere is a distributed database middleware. The main feature of Sharding Sphere have three main features. One is for data sharding. It can sharding the databases and sharding the tables together, and it can support read-write splitting, and it can customization the sharding strategies and use the centralized distribution primary key asset. The distribution, the second feature is for the distribution transactions. Sharding Sphere just define the unified transaction APIs and SPIs can support XA transaction and the base transaction. The third feature is for the orchestration, because in the distributed database and services, so we have a config center and we have the service orchestration of the database like a service. So we can management the service as a, we can management the database as a service, and we can adjust the data, because some data maybe we should need to encrypt. We can just use the original SQL to load and query the data. And the last one is tracing and observability. Using Sharding Sphere is like just using one database. So the application just access Sharding Sphere, and Sharding Sphere just like one database. User just access it. Sharding Sphere have high capability for the SQL and for transaction. User just writes the traditional SQL, and the user just use the local transaction API. So, and the other one is a minor call change for Sharding Sphere. User can customization their sharding strategies by just provide by a Java class, or user can just use inline expression to simplify their configuration. Sharding Sphere can support four databases: MySQL, PostgreSQL, Oracle, and SQL Server. This is the implementation module of Sharding Sphere. Just like a normal databases, Sharding Sphere needs to understand the SQL, all of the SQL. It can pass the SQL as an abstract syntax tree. And just like the regular databases. The second one is the root, SQL root. Sharding Sphere can just sharding the SQL to the correct databases, accept sharding, and also support the broadcast SQL of it. And then Sharding Sphere will rewrite the SQL. It will correct the SQL to rewrite the SQL name, and maybe to add some derived column like SQL ID, or like if we should order by something, Sharding Sphere will automatically to add the order by column to the SQL. And then Sharding Sphere will to execute all the SQL on the execute engine. The execute engine will rebalance with resource and the performance automatically. The last one is Sharding Sphere just use the result merge engine to merge the SQL, just like the stream merge. So all of the data do not need loaded into the whole memory, just used as a stream. So the user, if want one of the data, just retrieve from the database, and the database will return the correct data of it. Sharding Sphere have a multiple access adapters for the GDBC and for the proxy. GDBC is a decentralization solution and only can use Java, and is a high performance solution. But for the proxy, it can support all the languages, and the database connection can be aggregation of it. And then is the aggregate is the auto administration entry, because the DBA can connect it automatically. So if you use a proxy, user can just use MySQL CLI or the MySQL Workbench to connect it, just like the one database. After databases, we can talk about the microservice architecture. Here is an example for the microservice. Microservice have an edge service, and whatever you want to visit it with the HTML-based UI over the mobile device, the edge server will to accept your request and then to split it to the different service of the middleware. The service maybe can split to the consumer service, other service, or inventory service, and each service will access a dependent database. So in this scenario, the database transaction of the database, we cannot cross the database. Here is the comparable of the distributed transactions solution for the base or SAID. I just list the three type of transaction here. One is for the local transaction, and another one is 2PC. 2PC just like the XA transaction, and the third one is BASE transaction. It's a basic available, and eventually transaction have a soft state of it. So we can see for the code construction, local transaction and the 2PC transaction, they do not need user to change their codes. But for the BASE transaction, user must change their code by themselves to the compensation or to lock the data. And for the data consistent, local transaction cannot support the data consistent, but 2PC can guarantee that for the base transaction, a user should guarantee as eventually. For the isolation level, the third record is the isolation level, the local transaction cannot support it in the distribute scenarios, and the 2PC can guarantee that. For base, user should guarantee the isolation. For example, user should write their code and to split the code between the user access the database. The business must guarantee like that. For concurrency, local transaction is good, and BASE transaction is better, but for 2PC, it's really declined correctly for the high concurrency. So the suitable solution is if user want to use a local transaction, they should handle all of the data in concept. And if user use 2PC, it's just suitable for the short transaction and or the rare concurrency. In the internet scenario, user use base transaction is better because base transaction can support long transaction and the frequent concurrency of it. So the problem two is how to use distributed transactions as simple as local transactions. I just introduced Saga here. Here is the Saga paper of it. It's a type of the base transaction. Besides Saga, have maybe TCC or best effort transactions. They also have the different style of the BASE transaction. For Saga here is if we have three transactions, T1, T2, and T3, or maybe have TN transaction, the normal transactions, all of the T transaction is executed successful. And if the abnormal scenario is some transaction just a failure, we need to execute the compensation of the success, the previous success transaction on it. So we can say if we just execute T1, T2, and T3, when the T3 is failure, so we need to execute compensation the transaction 2 and the compensation the transaction 1 sequentially. For the base transaction, we can just see the sequence diagram. We have the user and have the initial service, and we have two service to participant the transaction. We have a global transaction, and the global transaction have the invocation 1. And the invocation 1 just generates the transaction A. And after transaction success, a user just call the invocation B. The invocation B, if the transaction B of the invocation B is failure, so the coordinator of the transaction should call the compensation to cancel the transaction A of it. Here, I just introduced the second framework of today. It's a ServiceCom, Apache ServiceCom. Apache ServiceCom is a microservice framework on it, but it's a big topic to introduce all of it. So I just want to introduce the third one. The third one is PAC of Apache ServiceCom. It is a distributed transaction coordinator with Saga and TCC. Here is the distributed transaction chains of the ServiceCom pack. So just like a graph, if user execute a transaction, they have a global transaction. The global transaction is a tree, is a root of the tree. And the local transaction of each branch is the leaf of the tree. So it's a high, it's a lot of the hierarchy of the tree, and every service consumer and every service provider will hold the global transaction ID and the parent transaction ID and the local transaction ID of it. How to ServiceCom pack to deliver their messages? So firstly, they have the transaction context. The transaction context is just define all of the transaction details, global transaction, local transaction, and the parent transaction. When they do a RPC call and have an interceptor, so before interceptor will retrieve the transaction before this invocation to load the global transaction ID and the parent transaction ID. And after the service finish, so the request interceptor will inject the current transaction ID and the current global transaction ID to the next call. So this is the architecture of ServiceCom pack. Why is the name is ServiceCom pack? Pack means is a wolf pack. So they have two different role after ServiceCom. One is Omega. Omega is wolf members. The responsibility of Omega is collect the transaction and report to Alpha. Alpha is the wolf leader. And then the wolf leader will coordinate all the transactions and send the command to the Omega. So let's Omega to work with the transactions. I just shared a tips. Because ServiceCom and the Sharding Sphere, they are the two different projects. So today my presentation is how to integrate with it. So the first tips is how to integrate with ServiceCom and the Sharding Sphere. Because Sharding Sphere is a database access layer. So Sharding Sphere just provides a local transaction API, and the user use local transaction API to access the distributed transactions, whatever which the type of the distributed transactions. Maybe they just use XA transaction, maybe they use BAIC transaction, but they just use the same API and the same SPI. Sharding Sphere will just use the local transaction API to do it. User do not need to know, they just use distributed transaction or use the local transaction. Okay, the third problem and the last problem is how to know the status I've distributed system. My previous presentation is just to show how to do in the distribute transaction. Maybe we just need sharding the service and sharding the databases and to do the transaction of the service and the databases. But if our application is in the distribute system, it's really trouble to manage them because the operation cost will increase. So distribute transaction is not a self-bulletin, so how to resolve it? This one is observability for how to display the transactions for the ServiceCom pack. Here is the dashboard of the ServiceCom pack. The dashboard just include how many transactions they have already finished, and how many transactions is successful, how many transactions is compensated, or how many transactions they just failed. To use the dashboard, user can know the all of the status of the transaction system. This picture is for the query list of the transactions. It will just list all of the transactions in which IP address, what's the service name, and the status of the transactions. The third one is the details of when one transaction executes successful. And it's one global transaction, maybe you have a lot of transaction branches. So this picture just show which transaction branch is successful and the execute time spent of it. And the last picture of the observability of ServiceCom is if some transaction failure. So it will display some transaction failure and just do the compensation in the last one. Besides ServiceCom, and another one is Skyworking, because previous presentation and Mr. Wu Sheng just introduced Skyworking, so I don't want to repeat what is Skyworking. I just want to share how to integrate our system with Skyworking together. Because we all in the Apache community, so we need to communicate each other, and we want to share our experience and to integrate some project for more powerful infrastructure. So we just integrate Sharding Sphere, ServiceCom, and Skyworking for the observability. If user want to know the details of SQL, we can use Skyworking to display the information of the drilling. So here is picture to show the user how to drilling the SQL status with Sharding Sphere and Skyworking. For example, if user just to execute the SQL we call the logic SQL, because Sharding Sphere should shard the SQL to the different SQL and send it to rotate to the correct databases. So the user want to execute the logic SQL, use the passing phase, it will send some message to Skyworking and to create the global trace ID and to record the time spent of the pass file. And then after pass, Sharding Sphere will rewrite and split the SQL to the different data node. The data node include the databases and the tables. We can see the SQL. This one is select star from the other, but after root, the SQL is like select one from D as zero, T order zero, because we just assume this scenario is sharding two databases, and each database and have two different sharding tables. So we have four data nodes on this scenario. So after the select, we should route it to the four data node and execute parallelly. So this is the details of the, this is the picture to show the details of the execution. The picture have, it is two pictures. The bow picture is a trace of the skywalking. Skywalking can display how many cycles execute in the system, and the below one is the details of one cycle. So user can show the cycle real status of the skywalking and how, what is the data and what is the cycle parameters and their IP address here. If the SQL execute failure, use skywalking and the sharding sphere also can see the SQL status of it. So for example, we have two SQLs. One is insert T order table and another one is insert T order item table. If T order table is success and the second SQL is failure, so use sharding sphere and the syscomp will to do the compensation cycle to revert the first insert. So we can see it in skywalking. So what's the cycle, left cycle of it? We can see the first one is insert and the second one is insert but failure. So the first one is to delete the first insert of the cycle. Okay, the last picture is I just want to discuss something because user want to observability for their business logic, but for skywalking or for sharding sphere or for syscomp, they just can display one user call. For example, our logic is maybe user want to book something and to pay payment that order. They are business logic, but they are the two the separate different requests. How to display the requests together in our observability? The first one is we need to define the business identification, and the second one is write the identification to and the trace ID together to the log center, and then user should develop their customized system to load the business ID and the related source ID list, and then send the source ID list to the skywalking, and use skywalking to display the related trace ID for that. So the key point of it is we can combine the log and the tracing of it. This is all of my presentation. So, any question for it? No. Okay. Thank you, everybody.